the far enough town where the crickle grass grows and the wind smells old and sour when it blows. No birds ever sing except an old crow. Street of the lifted Lorax. Crickle grass. Crickle grass. Street of the lifted Lorax. Crickle grass. Crickle grass. Street of the lifted Lorax.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
On today's show, we will be talking with Joe Minor of Friends of Red Hill Valley, an organisation fighting to protect the valley in East Hamilton from being paved over into an expressway. But first, why should we protect the valley and other such places? Let's see what the Lorax, in the movie The Lorax, has to say about that.
At the far end of town where the crickle grass grows, and the wind smells slow and sour when it blows, and no birds ever sing excepting old crows, is the street of the lifted Lorax. Crickle grass, crickle grass, street of the lifted Lorax. Crickle grass, crickle grass. Somebody lifted the Lorax away.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. I speak for the trees have no tongues. And I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs...
He was very upset as he shouted and puffed.
What's that thing you've made out of my trophula tuft?
Look, Lorax, I said. There's no cause for alarm. I chopped just one tree. I'm doing no harm.
I'm the Lorax who speaks for the trees, which you seem to be chopping as fast as you please. But I'm also in charge of the brown barbalutes, who played in the shade in their barbalute suits, and happily lived eating truffula fruits. Now, thanks to your hacking my trees to the ground, there's not enough truffula fruit to go round. My poor barbalutes are all getting the crummies because they have gas and no food in their tummies. They loved living here, but I can't let them stay. They'll have to find food, and I hope that they may. Good luck, boys!
He cried, and he sent them away. I, the Onceler, felt sad as I watched them all go. But business is business, and business must grow, regardless of crummies and tummies, you know. I meant no harm. I most truly did not. But I had to grow bigger, so bigger I got. I biggered my factory, I biggered my roads, I biggered my wagons, I biggered the loads of the needs I shipped out. I was shipping them forth to the south, to the east, to the west, to the north. I went right on biggering, selling more needs. And I biggered my money, which everyone needs. Then again he came back. I was fixing some pipes when that old nuisance Lorax came back with more gripes.
I am the Lorax!
He coughed and he whiffed. He sneezed and he snuffled. He snarled. He sniffed.
Wunschler!
He cried with a cruffulous croak.
Wunschler, you're making such smogulous smoke. My poor swami swans, why, they can't sing a note. No one can sing who has smog in his throat. And so,
said the Lorax,
please pardon my cough. They cannot live here, so I'm sending them off. Where will they go? I don't hopefully know. They may have to fly for a month or a year to escape from the smog you've smogged up around here. What's more,
snapped the Lorax. His dander was up.
Let me say a few words about Gluppity Glup. Your machinery chugs on day and night without stop, making Gluppity Glup. Also, Sloppity Slop. And what do you do with this leftover goo? I'll show you, you dirty old Wunschler man, you. You're glumping the pond where the humming fish hummed. No more can they hum, for their gills are all gummed. So I'm sending them off. Oh, their future is dreary. They'll walk on their fins and get woefully weary in search of some water that isn't so smeary.
And then I got mad. I got terribly mad. I yelled at the Lorax, now listen here, Dad. All you do is yep, yep, and say bad, 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 bad. Well, I have my rights, sir, and I'm telling you, I intend to go on doing just what I do. And for your information, you Lorax, I'm figuring on biggering and biggering and biggering and biggering, turning more truffula trees into thneeds, which everyone, everyone, everyone needs. And at that very moment, we heard a loud whack. From outside in the fields came a sickening smack of an axe on a tree. Then we heard the tree fall. The very last truffula tree of them all. No more trees, no more thneeds, no more work to be done. So, in no time, my uncles and aunts, everyone, all waved me goodbye. They jumped into my cars and drove away under the smoke-smothered stars. Now all that was left beneath the bad-smelling sky was my big, empty factory, the Lorax, and I. The Lorax said nothing, just gave me a glance. Just gave me a very sad, sad backward glance as he lifted himself by the seat of his pants. And I'll never forget the grim look on his face when he heisted himself and took leave of this place through a hole in the smog without leaving a trace. And all that the Lorax left here in this mess was a small pile of rocks with the one word, unless. Whatever that meant, well, I just couldn't guess. That was long, long ago. But each day since that day, I've sat here and worried away. Through the years, while my buildings have fallen apart, I've worried about it with all of my heart. But now, says the Wunschler, now that you're here, the word of the Lorax seems perfectly clear. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. So, catch, calls the Wunschler. He lets something fall. It's a truffula seed. It's the last one of all. You're in charge of the last of the truffula seeds. And truffula trees are what everyone needs. Plant a new truffula. Treat it with care. Give it clean water and feed it fresh air. Grow a forest. protected from axes that hack. Then the Lorax and all of his friends may come back.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Joe Minor of Friends of Red Hill Valley.
Why does the government want more roads?
The politicians who want more roads believe that this is the best way to grow the economy. Okay, what they believe is that more roads brings both more trucks and more suburban subdivisions being built. And they think that this is a good thing for the economy, that basically it makes a bigger economy, you get more taxpayers, you get more tax revenues. That's why they want to do it. What they really are kind of behind the times on is not realizing the fact that lots of planning studies have shown that if you build an urban expressway and it creates suburban sprawl, and so as a result you expand your urban boundary, basically make your city bigger, more spread out, and start putting homes at the far edge of town on farm fields. That, yes, each person moving into one of those homes is an extra taxpayer, but they're not carrying their own load. It turns out that the amount of money it takes to service that home, to build the roads, to build the expressways, to build the new police station, the new fire station, the new schools, all of that money is a lot more money than you actually get from adding a taxpayer. And so and that's just strictly economics. Okay, it's an economic development plan. It's a proven loser. Then on top of that, if you get people living at the edge of town, you know, you're losing farmland, which is bad. And we have to eat, and basically most of the good farmland in Ontario is around here. And if you get people living in these subdivisions at low densities at the far edge of town, anything you want to do is a 15-minute car drive, and that ends up generating a lot of air pollution. That air pollution is killing a lot of people. But the short message is the politicians feel that this will grow the economy. The answer is it will grow the economy in unsustainable ways, in ways we can't afford.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
What animals can we expect to find? What birds and animals live in the valley?
It's basically the largest green space left in East Hamilton, and it's one of the few surviving links between the Niagara Escarpment down to Lake Ontario. It's a very large green space and urban area, and so while it is in the middle of the city of Hamilton, and so you're not going to find bears there, okay, it's amazing what you can find there. And we're talking literally thousands of species of plants and animals living in the valley. A quality botanist found more than 500 different species of plants in the valley. There are I believe it's on the order of 170 species of migratory birds. There's many species of mammals. So talking about mammals, there are deer, there are foxes, there are mink, there are occasionally beavers and muskrats. There is a federally listed species of concern, basically a rare species called the southern flying squirrel, lives in the valley in very large numbers. Birds, you know, during the migration, all types of hawks, eagles come through. A lot of species nest in the valley, kingfishers. You can see great blue herons, green herons, lots of butterflies.
Orioles, warblers, There's a actually the reptiles and amphibians. Mm-hmm. There's actually two hot spots for reptiles and amphibians. So for the whole region, like mm-hmm. a 50-mile circle around Hamilton, the two places that have approximately equal numbers of reptiles and amphibians are Dundas mm-hmm. Valley and Red Hill Valley. Uh-huh. Okay, so you can find salamanders. The tadpoles I showed your kids mm-hmm. are from yeah. a toad that hatched there. In that pond, there are not only toads, but also green frogs, leopard frogs, mm-hmm. and pickerel frogs, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. There's snakes. There's garter snakes, little brown snakes, milk snakes.
Okay.
You know, there's just... It's very a very darkness. Large green space that has a creek in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And it has a very varied topography all the way from the Niagara Escarpment hillside mm-hmm. all the way down to a marsh. Mm-hmm. It's actually the marsh at the bottom is one of the few kind of remnant Great Lakes connected marshes. Okay, there aren't very many marshes left, far fewer than 10%. Mm-hmm. What originally was there mm-hmm. around Lake Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hugely significant wildlife space. Big mm-hmm. snapping turtles down there.
Oh, cool. That's
loads of fish, both in the marsh and in the creek.
Okay. Another question was, would everyone die if there were no longer many trees? Would people die? That was one of
How important are trees? It's not an experiment that we should try.
Okay,
that's a simple answer. The science answer is very complicated. I mean, conceivably, you could get rid of all the trees, and maybe the grass would be enough to give us enough oxygen. But it's not a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's very risky. The real problem with the proposal to build an expressway in the valley is mm-hmm. twofold. It's not just that they need to cut down more than 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Trees to build the road. It's the fact that they're going to take that space away from trees and replace it with an expressway. So while you originally had trees that made the air cleaner, mm-hmm. now you're going to have thousands and thousands of trucks that make the air dirtier.
Mm-hmm.
Now the air quality experts will tell you that probably the trucks, adding trucks is yeah. worse than taking the trees away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's what do you want? Do you want a place that's making your air cleaner, or do you mm-hmm. want a place that's making your air dirtier?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a significant problem because this area of town already has unsafe levels of air pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And air pollution kills at least 300 people in Hamilton every year.
Not to talk about species and other species.
This is just humans. This
yeah.
is very selfishly yeah. centered on humans
that's
alone.
Right.
It's a very bad situation. The animals that are dependent upon these trees and everything else that you destroy when mm-hmm. you cover it with asphalt, a lot of them get killed during the construction period, mm-hmm. but far more of them get killed after the project is built.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so there's the immediate effects of the construction kills a lot. I saw a milk snake that was killed by building the Dartnell Road interchange. It destroyed
mm-hmm.
its hibernaculum. It didn't have a place to go for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
It died yeah. immediately. But there's a lot of roadkill.
Yes,
okay,
not only
on the expressway itself,
mm-hmm.
but it's a fairly narrow valley, and
mm-hmm.
so the animals will disperse onto the homes and adjacent city streets. And it's a well-known fact that whenever you build a new project like this, the
mm-hmm.
roadkill, not only on what you build, but on all the adjacent roads,
mm-hmm.
goes way up for a few years. So then you wipe out a lot of those
mm-hmm.
animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of that's short-term effects. The long-term effects are that there are plants and animals that need intact blocks of forest
mm-hmm.
To survive. And one of them would be the southern flying squirrel. And
mm-hmm.
the other one would be anything they call an interior nesting species. Okay,
mm-hmm.
they need to nest in patches of woods that have a certain size.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, for those species, the ones that you don't kill by construction or you don't kill by running over them will slowly dwindle away over a period of years, because what's left for them isn't any longer an intact environment that they can raise a family in. Mm-hmm. And that type of death is really sad because it takes a while. And what happens is these things keep coming back to where they were before, but they're never able to raise their young anymore because there's not enough land to support them. And so those adults, a lot of times when they build a road, they go, see, all the same things are there. Mm-hmm. But that's when you look right after. If you look 20 years down the road, what happens is those things kept coming back and they kept renesting, but they're never able to raise any children anymore, and so they die of old age. Yeah. And that can take a long time. And it's a very sad thing.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
If counselors went for a walk in Red Hill Valley, do you think that could help change their minds?
I would think so.
How could we get them out there?
You would hope so. We have taken some counselors on a walk in the valley, and most of the ones that are willing to walk in the valley with us either come or leave, opposed to building an expressway there. However, there are a few that have gone for a walk in the valley and still believe an expressway is what's best for it. And those are the people, I think, that really are willing to sacrifice the valley for what they see as an economic gain. And that the thing that's frustrating to me is not only the tremendous environmental damage that this project would do to the valley, but the fact that if they would sit back and carefully look, that the economic gain that they're trying to get from this project is an illusion. Okay, that the type of economic structure that they're promoting and subsidizing. It's not just a matter that this council is allowing a bad type of development to take place, a type of development that will cost us money in the long run and will pollute our air.
Bankrupt the city.
That's exactly the point. It's not that they're allowing it. It's that they're actually promoting it. They're not... in a free market, this thing wouldn't happen, okay? But this happens because these councilors are going to take a lot of money from the rest of us and use it to build this project that will promote and subsidize a type of development that will hurt us in the long run on multiple levels, not just from destroying the environment, but also from bankrupting the city, but also creating a society that is very expensive to maintain. Basically, to take farmland and to turn it to low-density housing means not only you lose the farmland, but the cost of maintaining that is just too high. It's just not sustainable. Most communities that have a large city park with the salmon stream in it would keep a large city park with the salmon stream in it. And that's what this is.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
You should always let your politician know your views on that, because mm-hmm. that's their job. Their job is to listen to your views on mm-hmm. that. So that's the first thing you should do. The next thing you should do is be willing to talk to your friends and neighbors about what's there and, mm-hmm. and why we need it. But then there are anything that you can do to call attention to it mm-hmm. is good. And one thing that would be a good idea, I would think, would be for people, particularly children, mm-hmm. who, I mean, that's the funny thing is, you know, we got a whole bunch of old city councilors and ex-mayors saying that we can cut down these trees and things will be okay 40 years later. Well, they'll be dead.
Yes, that's exactly.
Okay. So the children who need these trees and need the mm-hmm. clean air really should think about adopting a tree. I would encourage any kid living in the area mm-hmm. to go pick a tree in the valley and adopt it.
Great idea.
So put a ribbon on the tree with your name. Mm-hmm. Don't put your whole name. Just put your first name you know, on it and maybe your birthday or something. And just a message like, please don't mm-hmm. cut me down.
Talking with Joe Miner of Friends of Red Hill Valley, an organization fighting to protect the valley in East Hamilton from being paved over into an expressway.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
Children to save here.
Okay. Earth in Mind by David Orr. What is education for is a vital question David Orr confronts us with in his book, Earth in Mind. And guessing from the title, for business as usual is not the correct answer. We continue to educate the young, for the most part, as if there were no planetary emergency, Orr writes, the assumption being that better technology will take care of a rapidly worsening environmental crisis. But the crisis is in the minds that develop and use technology. The disordering of ecological systems and of the great biogeochemical cycles of the Earth reflects a prior disorder in the thought, perception, imagination, intellectual priorities, and loyalties inherent in the industrial mind. Ultimately, then, the ecological crisis concerns how we think and the institutions that purport to shape and refine the capacity to think. Nothing short of a redesigning of education by adopting the protection of the ecology as a basis in every discipline will do. Orr urges educators, and here I include parents, to go even further and make the connections, taking a holistic view rather than continue to support a fragmentized and inherently destructive paradigm of learning. What the planet needs now is not more successful people, but it does desperately need more peacemakers, healers, restorers, storytellers and lovers of every kind. It needs people who live well in their places. It needs people of moral courage, willing to join the fight to make the world habitable and humane. In teaching kids, Orr proposes that students should be introduced to the mysteries of specific places and things before giving them access to the power inherent in abstract knowledge. Aim to fit the values and loyalties of students to specific places before we equip them to change the world. Earth in Mind also serves as a manual of ideas and proposals for just how institutions and other places of learning, example the home, can begin to work towards a brighter future by learning to take care of the planet, because most critical of all, we cannot win this battle to save species and environments without forging an emotional bond between ourselves and nature as well. For we will not fight to save what we do not love. Quote by S.J. Gould.
Amazon is calling, help this planet Earth. With voices from the jungle, help this planet Earth. Hear the tree that's falling, help this planet Earth. Rainforests are crying, help this planet Earth to stay evergreen, ever blue as it was in the beginning. We've got to see it through. Oh, evergreen, ever blue. At this point in time, it's up to me, it's up to you. Ocean's wave is rumbling, help this planet Earth. With voices from the sea wave, help this planet Earth. Water's for the drinking, come on and help this planet Earth. Beluga whales are singing, help this planet Earth to stay evergreen, ever blue as it was in the beginning. We've got to see it through. Oh, evergreen, evergreen. At this point in time, it's up to me, it's up to you. Right now is when we're needed. We can all do something. The young, the old, working together to help this planet Earth. Cause the more we get together, the more we help this planet Earth. So come all United Nations, help this planet Earth. Children of one mother, won't you help this planet Earth? With love for one another, yeah, yeah, help this planet Earth. For our sons and daughters' future, help this planet Earth to stay evergreen, ever blue, as it was in the beginning. We've got to see it through. Oh, evergreen, ever blue. At this point in time, it's up to me and it's up to you. Come on and help this planet stay evergreen and ever blue.
Help this planet.
It's up to me and it's up to you to help this.